Hello, my name is Daniel Moth, and back in September I wrote an MSDN article with Stephen Taube on debugging task-based parallel applications in Visual Studio 2010. And what I'd like to do in this short video is go and show you four examples that I have in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2, which are the examples that we included in the MSDN Magazine article. So I think of this video as a companion to the article that we wrote. So before we dive into the code, just take literally a minute to review the structure of the article. So first we started by talking about the need for task-based programming. So that gives you a background on the APIs. And we link to other places where you can go and find out about them. Then we kind of summarize the debugging in Visual Studio Today story. And by today, we meant the Visual Studio 2008 situation. So we summarized that, and then that identified some opportunities for improvements for task-based programming applications. And that led us to introduce just an overview of one of the new debugger windows, which is the Parallel Stacks window. And then after that, we did an introduction of the Parallel Tasks window. And then after that, we entered a section where we had four scenarios just to show you some of the things you can achieve when you're debugging with these four windows. So the four scenarios, we called them single stepping, dependency problems, deadlocks, and lock convoys. And those are the four examples that I'm just going to show you now in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. So let's minimize this guy and go and get one of these. So here what I have is a .NET 4 console project. There's a single code file, as you can see here. And this is just doing some work. It doesn't matter what the code actually does, because we're going to look at this through the eyes of the debugger. So imagine some a bit more complicated code here, if you can imagine that. And then when you debug it, you find that your application kind of becomes unresponsive. So this represents an unresponsive application. So you can go and just break in there. And now that you've broken in there, you can go and look at your threads, for example, and maybe you can switch between all these guys and go and have a look at the call stack for each one. Or what you can do to quickly identify the problem is look at the call stacks of all these threads in one view. The more threads you have, the more need to see all of them in one view. So if I go here and bring the Parallel Stacks window up, then you can see the picture that we have of multiple call stacks. So this picture here is telling me that I have one thread which is started in main, so this is the main thread, and it's kind of blocked somewhere there on anonymous method 3. And then I have 10 threads that all had the same call path, and it went to anonymous method 5. And from there, one of them is calling do work, the other one is doing some protected work, and 8 of them are actually sitting here on a monitor enter, so they're sitting on a lock. And that's probably why my application started to become unresponsive as time was progressing. So if I go and hit the 5 just to continue. So now we continue debugging. I'm just going to break into that again. And you see again, you know, this picture continues. So what we have here is the classic picture of what we call a lock convoy. And that is that there are multiple threads all contending for the same lock. And as soon as that one thread gets that and goes and does its work, it's taking longer to exit that method than it takes for more threads to go and queue up and wait on that lock. So this is a bad situation for your code to be in. So this Parallel Stacks window was able, just by opening it, to quickly identify that you have a lock convoy and allow you to go and examine your code and see what you can do about it. So would that be up to you then, of course, to go and fix the problem now that has been identified, probably doing less work here in the lock, or not expecting so many worker threads to have to contend for it. So you need to restructure your application. So that's just one example where the Parallel Stacks window can be useful. Let me go and bring up another example here. So again, it's a .NET 4 console application, and the scenario we have here is we have these functions here. So we have three pairs of three functions, and they're all just pretending to do some work. And the way that I've structured my application here is to use tasks. So I've started here three tasks, point them to 1A, 1B, and 1C, and then I go here and actually wait for all of them to complete. Once all of them have completed, then I go and repeat that for tasks 2B, 2A, and 2C. And once all of them have completed, then I go and actually repeat that for tasks 3A, 3B, 3C. And once And I wait for those to complete. And when they complete, then I know my program is finished. So here I've got some kind of dependency between these three sets of three tasks. So I've got a breakpoint here because I ran it earlier and identified I had a problem. So when I run it, when I hit this breakpoint, what I'm expecting is to see just three running tasks. I have to somehow visualize, see that I have three running tasks, or I should say a maximum of three tasks. One of them could have completed and was still blocked here waiting for the other two or for the remainder one. But the maximum would be three running. So if I go and actually run this guess, I'll hit a five. We'll wait until we go and hit the breakpoint. We hit the breakpoint, and again, I could go traditionally and look into my threads window, and I can see what's happening here. I can get some clues as to what's happening. But actually, if I look at the new parallel task window, which you can open from here, then you get actually a much more deterministic view telling you, look, you actually have four tasks running, and there are two that are scheduled. So you can see actually tasks that are not assigned to threads yet, they're just sitting in the queues. And this is the big clue here, that there are four of them running. Now if I had more tasks here, I could go and group by status and go and collapse the schedule and play around and investigate further. But actually in this case, all I need to do is just sort on the task column, which the task column represents the entry point. So the delegate you passed to the task, where does that point to? And what I can see here is that I have actually 2A, 2B, and 2C running. I was expecting to only have a subset of 3A, 3B, 3C, all of them are a subset. And I'm actually seeing the two range of tasks are running. And I have the 3A running here as well. Let's go further up. And when we realize that, we can go here and see actually there's a copy-paste error. So when I started these tasks, I actually copy-pasted my code for the waiting from further up. And I forgot to change these to 2A, 2B, and 2C. So just changing that would actually fix this issue. So this is just one way where the parallel task window can help you identify dependency problems. It's worth noting that in the parallel stacks window that we saw in the previous demo, it showed me the threads here and how they've all diverged. So my picture's larger and larger, the more code I have. But if I switch to the tasks view, which is a specific multiple call stack view for tasks, I can see a much, much leaner picture because tasks start in these methods and then they go up there. So we trim and filter out information that we think is not relevant to most debugging scenarios in the task view. And that's why this looks much tidier. And I can see, look, there's four running tasks. And again, I can see where they started and where they are right now. So that is the second example I wanted to show you with identifying dependency problems with a parallel task window and its companion, the parallel stacks. So let's go and look at the third example that we have here. So in this example, we're not using vanilla threads like in the first one. We're not using tasks directly like we did in the second example. Instead, we're using the parallel invoke. So this API under the covers uses tasks, of course, which means we can debug it with the same windows. And what this does is it basically does a bank transfer. So if I just run this guy up, I run it up, and again, you imagine here your real application, you notice something that is wrong. So you attach a debugger, you go break in there, and you see, what's the problem? Because this was basically not responding at all. It wasn't just slowing down like the first example, this was not responding at all. So again, I can go here and examine the threads and switch between them to see the call stacks, but I can also go and do that by just opening the parallel stacks window. And in the parallel stacks window, in this case, I've got threads, so I can go and navigate around and find what's going on. But actually, parallel invoke uses tasks, so we don't need to mess about in the threads view trying to navigate the data. We can just switch to tasks, and then here I can see very clearly, look, I've got two tasks that are running right now, which makes sense, because it was two delegates that I had over there. So when I see these two tasks, I said, look, this started in anonymous method 3, this started in anonymous method 4, so there's two different lambdas that were passed in there, and both of them went to program transfer, and then they're blocked on a monitor enter. And I don't even have to look at the stack frame and understand what's going on here. This could have been a different kind of blocking thing that maybe I'm not aware of, but the big indication here is the deadlock status up there. So it says there's one deadlock task, its ID is 1, and here there's one deadlock task, its ID is 2. And again, where do we go for the real rich information when we deal with tasks? Well, that's the parallel task window. And in here, I've filtered out the columns, by the way, so I've described all these in detail on another video, just like I did for the menu items on the actual task itself. So go examine my other videos that do a deep dive on these windows. But for this example, I think it's self-evident. I can see that this task and I hover over it, it says, look, task one is waiting on an object. The object is of type bank account, and it's owned by thread 2476. And if I go and hover over this guy, it says task two is waiting on an object of type bank account, owned by thread 4956. So clearly, when you look at the thread IDs here, and you see the tooltip information that we're given, these tasks are blocked on each other. And if you were using directly the task waiting APIs, again, we'd be able to detect and show you these deadlocked conditions. So deadlock detection is one of our major features in the for the task-based programming model. And if you're using the native APIs, because all our windows work for the native APIs as well, there we use the wait chain traversal API to identify blocking and deadlock situations. Because we can show you just vanilla blocking, even if it's not deadlock, maybe just waiting on a lock, you'll be able to see that. So that is the deadlock scenario that you see how our windows help identify. Worth noting that even if you weren't using tasks or using threads, if we're going to maximize this guy, then maybe again you got to look in the stack frames. There's no indications, of course, for the thread-based programming model, but maybe you'll be able to deduce, you know, by looking at this picture here, what's going on. So let's go and look at the fourth and final example. So here we use parallel invoke. Earlier we used the task directly. The first example was just threads because parallel stacks window helps with that. In this last example, where you're going to use a parallel link. So here you can see I'm using the sparallel, which turns link queries to run in parallel where there is benefit to do so. And basically, the way that the meat of this is to go and call isPrime. That's going to return the primes and it's going to output them on the screen. So isPrime takes a number and then has an algorithm to go and test that. So I noticed earlier when I run this, I got some wrong results with regards to prime numbers. In particular, if I just go and run this guy up, and if I'm fast enough to break all, and we go and look at the console, I wasn't fast enough. So at the beginning, what I had seen is that that I had the number 9 in there, which is clearly not a prime number because it's not just divisible with itself and 1; it's also divisible with 3. You know, 3. So if I go and just stop this thing, what I want to do is I want to go and see why was 9 let through and returned as a prime. So here I can see number detest 2, that won't satisfy 9. Here is less than 2, and that's not going to satisfy 9. So from here down, maybe my logic is more complex. So I need a breakpoint here, but I need a breakpoint specifically when the number detest is 9. So I can go here and set a conditional breakpoint, which you could do in previous versions of Visual Studio as well. And I can go and say number 2 test is equal to 9. Just break only when that happens. And you see this changes as I continue to indicate this is a conditional breakpoint. So now if I go and hit a 5, we'll just wait for that breakpoint to be hit, which is it's hit straight away, of course. And here I can see number detest indeed is 9, so that worked as we expected. And I can see that I've got 4 threads, and they're only in is prime. And I can see again the call stack. But as usual, if we go and just bring up the parallel stacks window, I'll be able to see that information, all the call stacks, in just a single view. So here it says there are 4 threads, and this is where they are. And if I switch the task specific view, because parallel link uses tasks under the covers, then we get a much cleaner picture here. And I can see that in is prime we have 4 tasks right now, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Those are their IDs. And I can see the argument. So the one that's bolded, that's the current task, the one that hit the breakpoint and invoked the debugger, the argument is 9, which lines up with what we knew already. And the other 3 have different arguments, and they're all at line 20. Again, I could see that information. If we look at the parallel task window, it also shows me the 4 tasks running here. In case you're wondering why we have 4 tasks, if I control shift escape, you'll see in task manager, I'm running on my quad core laptop over here. So the scheduler has created the 4 tasks. So that's what made sense. So I've hit the breakpoint. So now I just want to go and examine my logic. So what I want to do now is step. At this point, I've narrowed down the problem. It's not a parallelism problem anymore. I just want to go and, you know, it's a sequential problem. I just want to see what this task, you know, on this thread is actually, what code path is going to follow and what the variables are going to be. I don't want these other tasks that were running on other threads or indeed other threads in the application also progressing and potentially interfering with my invasive debugging, which I'm about to embark on. And I say invasive debugging because what I can do here is I can just right click and say freeze all threads but this. So by doing that, I could freeze just the assigned thread, but chain all threads but this, that freezes every other thread in the program. So you can see all the others are frozen except the one where we have the current focus on. So if I now go into F11, so I'll just hit F11, and now I'm single stepping just that one task. So I'll just go in here, obviously So upper bound is going to be, well, we're going to see what it's going to be in a second, I guess. So I'm just going to F11 again. And now I can see actually it's going to return true. So something has gone wrong here. If I go, by the way, and look here on the for the stack frames, I can see that the task one, which is the bolded one, is at line 25. The others have indeed been frozen and have stood back. So now that I see that it jumped, it didn't go into this condition, because that's what I was expecting. I was expecting this when I designed it to go in here and actually see that that is going to be a 9. So I can switch to my locals window here, and I can see that the number to test is 9, upper bound is 3. It's going to be, I is going to be 3 to start with, so 9, 3, that would give 0, it should return false. And then I noticed that the upper bound is 3, so 3 actually to 3, that's not going to come in. Because my bug here is I forgot to actually put an equal sign, which is a very classic bug. I kind of did this while I'm debugging, so I could go here and actually set that to be equals, and then I fixed my bug. So the point here was to show you the freezing and the single stepping, and how in the parallel stacks window you can see all the various arguments in the tooltip, so you can compare side by side what line number you're on, what are the arguments you passed in, and so on. And those were the four examples that I wanted to very quickly here go through. I didn't spend a lot of time on the windows because I've done deep dives on them before, and I didn't spend a lot of time explaining the code here because it's all part of this MSDN article that I mentioned at the beginning of this screencast. So go see the code, see the screenshots there, and study this in your own time. It's available free online. It's called Debugging Task-Based Parallel Applications in Visual Studio 2010, and the URL is there. And I've linked to this, of course, from my blog, which is up there. Thanks for watching, and I'll catch you next time.